begin to destroy any force, every force whatsoever that seeks to stand in order to truncate that which God wants to do in this day and time. Kebalos kamba selima, mantes popatana mansobre, labakope takaskata mina. You want to command every counsel of Ahithophel. You want to render it to madness. You want to cause the enchantments and divinations of the evil men. Let it fail. Let the destiny of Nigeria awake and arise. Lord, in the name of Jesus, this is our year of jubilee. This is our time of liberty. This is our time of freedom. Oh God, arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yay! The set time. Kesamandomina Aila Masketa Branta Babosa Bakaya Masala Rabasketa Mensomila Abreska Pata Mandala Baboria Brakataya Esabokos Katamina Katela Ebria Labaskanda Branta Babola Mazala Abramanta Lebakoda Abraman Saka Balabaya Igabasabada Babori Manatalia Ebregatela Bakatama Rabaskanda Masalaba Rabaskanda Mamonana Rabasketa Minakade Rabaskata Minasanda Rababo Bayana Hasaya Mazali.
We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Still in the mood of prayer, I'd like you to take your Bible so that we can take a prayer point. Isaiah 18. Isaiah chapter number 18. Isaiah chapter number 18. Woe, verse 1. Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings. Before I continue, I think I would like to straighten that out, because if you go to the original writings, what is the most accurate rendition would have been, I'm speaking to a land that is full of woes. Alright? Can you fix that in your brain now? So when you say woe to a land, it's not cursing the land. Just say, I'm speaking to a land that what? Is full of woes. Alright? Alright? I'm speaking to a land that is full of woes, shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which sends ambassadors by sea, even in vessels of reed on the water, saying, go swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth of skin. I also need to stop there to comment. Some clarifications are required. When we see smooth of skin there, something about dark skin. Just so that you will not be confused. The expressions have been orchestrated under the auspices of ancient English, which we are not acquainted with in our time. So smooth of skin there refers to dark skin. Amen. Go, sweet messengers, to a nation tall and smooth of skin, to a people terrible from their beginning onward, a nation powerful, but yet treading down, whose land the rivers divide. Isaiah gave us a geographical location for that land. He said that the land is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, and the geographical reference is sub-Saharan Africa. And he now gave us a specific description of the locality, a land that what? The rivers divide. Now, hallelujah. I hope you have a map at home. World map. Map of Africa. Go find out. In all the region of sub-Saharan Africa, there's only one land that the rivers divide. I know you say, What are you talking about? The Bible. Okay, can we check? Where are we now? Verse what now? Verse what? I want us to jump to verse number 7. In that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall and smooth of skin, a people terrible from their beginning onward. That means their disaster began from the beginning. Their wilderness journeys began from the very onset of their history and their destiny as a corporate entity. Are you with me now? A nation powerful and treaded down, whose land the rivers divide, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, to Mount Zion. The Bible says that in that time, a present will be taken from that land to the Lord. Are you with me? A present will be taken to the Lord. Whether you like it or not, Nigeria has a prophetic destiny. And the Bible says that in that time, a present shall be taken to the Lord. From that land. From those people. And I've said it here before, for those that care to hear, it's not only Israel God had called as a nation. Because when God was speaking to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, these were the very words that were used. Israel is my firstborn. And I hope you know that firstborn does not mean only son. What he meant by that statement was that what I want to do in nations, I will create a pattern in Israel. And if other nations can come and see the pattern and they cannot adopt it in their own territories, they will of necessity attain to the fullness of their destiny under God. It's not only Israel, God has called. And the Bible says that the time will come where an offering will be taken from a nation. An offering will be presented to God from a nation. And he gave a description of the people. People of smooth skin, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, people with a terrible history. They are mighty, but they are trodden down. If it is true that the statistics we see in the oil industry is valid, if it's anything to go by, Nigeria has never been as rich as it is today. Not even in the oil boom. The boom now, there's no name in the dictionary to. No name. And if you have been watching Al Jazeera, you have been watching Press TV, CNN, BBC, you will find out that there's crisis in the oil-rich zones of the world. Because of that, OPEC has instructed an increase in our production quota. We are making money both ways. One, the price of crude has increased. So what we budgeted for in our own budget, our own price ceiling of crude, all right? What is obtainable now has exceeded it. Crazy. That's one. Number two, our production quota has been increased, escalated. And so, the level of drilling taking place now is strange. We have never had it like this before in this nation. And mysteriously, it coincides with our 50th year anniversary. A time that has prophetic significance. Hallelujah. Meanwhile, the Bible says that in that time, a present will be brought to the Lord from a people that are powerful. When you see their statistics, even the Nigerian army, in the world of the military, Nigeria has the best ground troops. That one has been recorded. And if the best ground troops, if you want to win in UN, make sure Nigeria forms 60% of the troops. Ghanaians will run, I assure you. Sudanese, they are rebels. Under fire, we run. But
They are powerful people in the world of computer. When you find out the things that Nigerians are doing all across the nations, you will notice that there's something about them. A Ghanaian can go to London and he's signing shoe for 30 years. That's his work. He's contented. For 30 years, you see him with taxi driver cap. And he signed shoes, he became old. But if you see a Nigerian outside of this place, you will know him. The Bible speaks of a people that are powerful. But in their destiny, they are trodden down. There are forces that oppress them, that suppress them. There are forces that want to marginalize them so that they never get to attain to the fullness of their destiny. When Yar'Adua was alive, we had $50 billion as foreign reserve. Currently, that money is no longer existent. Because the president went to the Senate to ask them to put logistics in place to borrow money from the international community. And when the question escalated, what of the foreign reserve? Then the process ended abruptly. It says a nation of people that have been trodden underfoot. Yes, they are powerful. One of them is a dynamite. It's worth 10 men elsewhere. But they have been meticulously trodden underfoot, meticulously suppressed and marginalized. But the Bible says a time will come where from that very nation of suppressed and oppressed people, a present will be brought to the Lord. That nation has a destiny. And it means that somehow, through the thick and thin, they will struggle out of it and they will find their feet on the platform of destiny and be strong enough to present an offering to God. Can we pray today and say anything? You know, the politics of Nigeria is amorphous. Just in case you read political science, I assure you cannot interpret the politics of Nigeria. It's not a politics of Democrats and the Republican, of the liberal and the conservative, that follows brilliant patterns that you can almost predict what will be the line of action if a particular Democratic party is ruling. But in Nigeria, the forces that fight for the soul of our nation, they are men. Hallelujah. I think somebody was telling me a story of an intercessor that God led to check the source of River Niger. I think the thing went as far as one African nation. And when he was getting to the source of the river, he met an old man. The old man said, "What have you come to look for? Are you coming to look for power?" Or no, he said, "No, he just came to see the place." "Which nation are you from?" He said, "I'm from Nigeria." Then the old man now told him that, the first Nigerian that came around this side came so time. Is it Tafawa Balewa? So they have gone to the source of the Niger to do some stuff. But as long as that name does not change, and as long as it's this water that waters the land, hallelujah, the forces that fight for the soul of our nation, they are many. And today I would like you with a raise of your right hand, hallelujah, to begin to speak words of power. That this time the counsel of Ahithophel will be turned to madness. This time enchanters and diviners will be made mad. This time sorcerers, astrologers, necromancers will fail. Because the time has come for the nation to present an offering unto God. Maila sakabala noskela. Maila selima kada branda babosa makanda. Maila selabos kambrata keskabina. Laharema sakoria masalabata. Maila sekaboria nasakabala tekaske. Labra sanda pokotima nakate bobosaya. Mahila Sakuria Masukata Ambre Mansale Haringa Mandola Mahila Sakema Mahila Sori Makande Babaya Ambre Keska Baranta Babola Akapesa Mesai Mahila Sela Mahila Sela Mahila Lambraske Parunda Abeka Maraka Pataya Mansala Aye Aye Labreska Paya Mansolema Mahila 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 Aye Skale Skalema Sanda Labraska Teboborima Abraska Parande Mahila Ba Mahila Ba Sandela Kande Baboria Abreska Balana Mastande Ah Somana Yena Somanda yebala kasketa minazula. Aye kabas kamba bakana bahala baskanda bakamokata bakaberakata bakamansala bakaskola la istabalante mamoria abreskabaya. Lord, with our hands lifted up, we cry out for salvation. We cry out for mercy. We cry out for your power to redeem. The Bible says that you save even to the uttermost. We call upon your name and we proclaim salvation upon our land, salvation upon our nation, salvation, 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 salvation. Moteke basala mabaya and scambante. We give you glory. In Jesus' name.
The state of our economy. Every year, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of graduates are spinned out of tertiary institutions, but by econometrics projection, if our economy continues in this pattern until 2018, hallelujah, there will be total chaos. Money will fail, just like it failed in Egypt. But the answer to the puzzle of our economy is power. At least we have a manager, one manager in our midst here. He manages a hotel, Chief Donatus, from Kwande. How much do you spend on diesel every month? Just give us an estimate. 100,000 naira. So how much do you expect him to charge? Because the customers must what? He must transfer the body. The businessman is a skilled man. He knows how to transfer stuff. 100,000 in Makoti. He's spending 100,000 naira for diesel. And he has to transfer the cost. And so the guys that come for his services, somehow the cost is built into what they pay. Power. Manufacturers Association of Nigeria. I know you, the last time you drove into your filling station, you bought petrol PMS for 65 naira. But we do not understand that what, in the absence of power, the fuel that companies run on now in Lagos, in Port Harcourt, in Kano, and all the big cities where manufacturing takes place, they run on diesel. When last did you check the diesel price? What's it now? 135. That is mega station. 170. I'm hearing 135. I'm hearing what? 150. NNPC is 115. They sell it in the night. They sell it in the night. Are you following what I'm talking about here?
That is the reason why everything manufactured in Nigeria is so expensive, and it's still cheaper to go to India, China, buy it and import into the country. Because the terrain is not competitive because of the problem of power. If we are going to solve the problem of the economy, then we must of necessity talk about power. If Chibdon is not spending anything for fuel, the prices will drop. And if he refuses to drop it, some other guys that are into the same business will drop it, and he will lose customers for 1 month, and an executive decision will force him to. Are you with me now? We had $50 billion in the foreign reserve. $3.7 billion would have solved the power problem and have created appendages and algorithms, electrical algorithms, that will engender increase of our power for future purposes. Now the $50 billion US dollars is nowhere to be found. And we want to do the borrowing game again. And this guy that's on the throne now, how many months has he ruled? Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let his enemies be scattered. Let his enemies be scattered. Nigeria has a prophetic destiny. The time has come for the hand of God himself to take us up beyond the reach of the sabotage of man. We are that nation, though powerful, but yet trodden underfoot. And the Bible says that a time will come when we will present an offering to the Lord. This is the year of Jubilee. And there's no better time than now for us to present an offering to the Most High. Can we pray that by terrible things in righteousness? What that means is the matrix that takes place when the skills of God's right hand are brought to bear upon an issue. That's what we mean by terrible things in righteousness. That which will frustrate the old pattern. The old pattern that the devil has taken advantage of to exploit the destiny of the land. By terrible things in righteousness. By signs and wonders. By an outstretched arm. By strong hand. It's time for us to know Jehovah, the man of war. Friends, I'm of the opinion that several people don't. On Saturday, some people should not wake up. I'm of the opinion that some people will just sleep. Not wake. Hallelujah. They went to CBN governor. They said, okay, remove some ballot box as sample so that we can use it for advertisement. The man said, the thing you people signed, the time has not reached. Jega now, he stays in Kano barrack, army barrack. Because even the bed that he sleeps on in Abuja can be responsible for his kidnap. Hallelujah. Friends, this is the time of our destiny. Now we'll just raise this prayer point. God will speak. God has to speak. God has to speak. Can we cry out? Now, the days my father went to school, when you are in 400 level, graduating, companies are already engaging you. Hallelujah. We have a prophetic destiny. And the Bible says it's God's will that will present an offering to the Lord. Can we rise up and contend with the forces that want to keep us down? Let the hand of God be set in motion. Let the miraculous works of God take effect in our nation. We call upon you. 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 Shelimanata Branta Baborokoskana. Aila Masaka Bera Masada. Rapas Kombekete in a Kandana Makuta. Lepras Katebabosa Mazalata. Abraba Katebaboria. Epatela. When a thief is caught, he shall restore. He shall restore. He shall restore. He shall restore. Laila Bretasela Balanta. Astabaranda Baburamastanta. Astabaranda Barabastata. Astabaranda Baburabastanta. Astabaranda Baboria. Embram Scata Baboria Masala Bahaya. Istabre, Stabre, Stabre. Maratam Patala Babonze. Raiz Kamanzalia. Rabakata Bosta Masala Baraya. Apera Masanda Baboya. Yes, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Let the counsel of the wicked, O God, be scattered. Bring redemption to us. In Jesus' name. When you hear NNPC report of the state of the refineries, and they summon the group managing director of NNPC to come testify about the state of the refineries, the group managing director knows that you need to be a mighty technocrat to understand what the crude catalytic cracking unit is. Just as I mentioned the name now, most people here are blank. Crude catalytic cracking unit. That's the unit in the refinery that enables it to be able to produce some finer products like aviation to Bankero, finer products like the petrol that you use for your vehicle. And if the CCU is not functional, it will be producing heavy products like asphalt, like AGO, diesel. Heavy products will be coming out. So even though the configuration of the refinery is to produce 41% PMS, which is petrol, if the CCU is not functional, it will produce 54% AGO, diesel. In fact, for refineries to still be running now, the manager of the refinery must have either a company or something that must be coming to pack the AGO so that production can still continue. You understand what I'm talking about? So at the end of the day, it will produce like 8% PMS. And our crude is one of the best in the world. Sweet crude. Hallelujah. But there's no CCU. So the guy will come and stand before the Senate Committee on Power and say, Warri Refinery is buoyant and robust. It has been operating since so-so and so-and-so and so, and the politician does not know anything. Save Nigeria. Hallelujah. If we have a superfluous production of diesel, it means that the price of diesel should be low so that we can release it, people can use it, manufacturers can use it, and we have that system in place to sustain the manufacturing industries. But diesel still goes for 135. There is a wizard in Nigeria. There is a devourer. It has held the waste of Nigeria. This is is our time of jubilee. It's our time to come out of the curse. It's our time to break free so that we can attain to our prophetic destiny. You are part of that destiny. I'm part of that destiny. It's our day and time. And we are crying for jubilee. Can we proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord? The year of the vengeance of our God. We proclaim jubilee. The acceptable year of God. The year of vengeance of our Lord. Shelabankombas katebereheleasa. Embra bakate koskatamina skaleria. Shekombre katakuska man sablata kabalataya. Ambra manakanske brauskete. La bonde gabanda gustamansa brakatalia. Abera maskatakuska marakapaya. Abra masandabo. Shakepakata manakata babaya. Embra kateba sanda baboria. Rakeda, 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 rakeda. Sabera kaska komina sanda baboria. Escombra mansale, ebareka patandos cabria basale, iscamosa laia baracambaia. We call on you. Let the intention of wickedness fail now. Your people cry out for freedom. Your people cry out for jubilee. Your people cry out for liberty. Let your right hand, O God, be engaged by our supplication. Kebosamaya, labreskape hante baboria, rabaskape salabata, shebrekete laba uzabunza labanda, abrakamaska lebi alababoto kombre. Ma ampoto, ma ampoto, ma ampoto, ma ampoto, ma rakapata mampoto, rakampanta sakapoto, ibrama kaya, iskomba, ma komba, ma kompa, 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 ah, sikabala bataya ma. In Jesus' name. Pick your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 45. Friends, it's our time. The counsel of Ahithophel. The wise politicians, very wise, that understand the buttons to press so that riot will take place in Adamawa. They know what to do for upheaval to seize Plateau State. They know what to do for chaos to hit Ekiti State. But the Bible says, when David prayed, he said, turn the counsel of Ahithophel. Isaiah 45. Friends, we are about to see a wonder in our nation. A wonder. While we prayed, I groaned and my eyes were open. I saw people taking refuge to the refuse dump. And I was wondering, what is this? Then my spirit was quickened by wisdom. And wisdom spoke to me and said, all things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. People will die. Things will happen. But a highway will be paved again so that we can take an offering to the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 45, you find a most fascinating prophecy. Thus said the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. Oh, that's strange. It is strange because the Jews have a custom, they have a culture. And in their culture, they recycled names. And you can see one name running through 12 generations, 15 generations. And that's why when John the Baptist was born,
some of the relatives of Zacharias suggested that he should bear Zacharias' name. That if this guy that is coming into the line, if this guy that is coming into as a continuum of the bloodline, if he can do as much as Zacharias is doing, then we'll have a good man in the line. And they were trying to picture his destiny from the standpoint of that which was. But that young man was a harbinger of what God was about to do. He could not be summarized from the past because he was a representation of something that was wholly and entirely new. When the mother came and said, "We will call him John," the guy says, "No, if we do this, we'll be introducing another name into the line. The circle will be distorted. If it will take 10 years for a name to become relevant, by this name coming into the line, the circle will be distorted and it might take 11. What is this about this new name?" They contended with an introduction of a new name. And here God was speaking to a prophet. And he mentioned the name Cyrus. And no Jew has ever borne that name. First of all, he said, "To my anointed Cyrus." He also said that Jerusalem shall be built, that a temple shall be built. And in those days, Jerusalem and Israel as a nation was such that did not know defeat in battle. So it was unthinkable to think that Israel would be invaded. It was blasphemy to declare that the temple will be hijacked and destroyed. So what is the prophet saying? That you will be built again. Then he went on and spoke the name of a young man. The name of the young man was Cyrus. And if we check the book of names in Israel, it is quick to notice that it's not an Israeli name. What is the prophet trying to bring to our notice? Can God anoint a man that is not a Christian? Because Israel is a type of the church. So if we are saying God is calling somebody, he's anointed, it means he puts some anointing upon him. Yeah, you have a religious mind. That's why you are looking at me. God was the one that anointed that cock. The cock that crowed 3 a.m. in the morning. That made Peter cry. The crow of the cock was so anointed that he made a man, brought a man under conviction that the man cried. The cock was anointed. Oh, do you still remember the story of Balaam? How that a donkey, by strange ability, spoke unto him to rebuke his madness. I'm not saying that. Are you with me? I'm trying to draw you small, small. Because if I say what I want to say, you will say I've blasphemed. God anointed an unbeliever because he wanted him to facilitate his purposes. And those purposes were territorial and governmental. He was the one that gave the proclamation for the rebuilding of what? That is hidden. But God put in his heart a desire to accomplish God's purposes. Are you with me? Have you read your Bible where it says that the heart of kings are in the hands of God, and like a wave of water, he can turn it whithersoever he wants? Have you read your Bible where your Bible states that people that are in government are ministers of God? And it says that in 2 books of the Bible. And the guy that is in government doesn't necessarily to be, most of them are not born again. But according to God's perspective, they are ministers of God. And as long as the purpose that they have in heart synchronizes with God's intention for that time, God will empower them to perform it. He will anoint them to perform it. Oh, you are not with me. Now let me explain. I'm taking you too far. I'm not a politician, but don't even need to be a prophet to know that our current governor is not God's choice. Don't need to be a prophet. Because the Bible says that when the wicked rule, the people, they groan. I just went to Gboko to visit my auntie, and she said, she's a pensioner. She has served Benin State government for 35 years. And there was no coin around. And there had been a backlog of salaries and pensions that had not been paid. And that's how we reward people that have served for 35 years in this part of the world. That's groaning. It's an indication of the fact that wickedness has been pedestaled in the high places. And whether you like it or not, I need to let you know that it's God's business in the current time to dethrone such wickedness. Because the cry of the people of God has ascended unto him in his holy mountain. And he has spoken. Now, another unbeliever now comes and says, maybe because, are you with me? Maybe because this unbeliever asked the governor, said, you need to be paying me royalties. And the governor now said, I won't pay you royalties. And that's the reason why that unbeliever rose up and said, this man must come down. But as far as we are concerned, alright, God wants the guy to come down. What is motivating this other person to ensure that he comes down might be selfish, but at that moment he's still in line. Are you with me? With God's agenda. So God will anoint such a man because he wants that contract to be achieved. It is on this basis that the Bible... You are laughing. It's on this basis that the Bible can now say, my anointed Cyrus, even though Cyrus was an unbeliever. Because there is a purpose that God has smuggled into his heart sovereignly that he wants to accomplish, and that purpose is in line with God's strategic agenda. And so God empowers, as long as he keeps pace with that purpose, the empowerment of heaven is upon his life to accomplish it. Are you with me now? God is, you can't try him all. Have you read your Bible when the Bible says that if a man's ways pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at what? At peace with him. That's one thing about God. God wanted to facilitate the program of redemption, and Jesus spoke, and Jesus said that these things can only come to pass if I'm lifted up. That's the first time Jesus gave a very powerful prophecy that was anchored upon a condition, if. And in the New Testament, as we study our Bible, we come to realize that it was the devil himself that was the agent that raised him up in order for the circuit to be completed, for that prophecy to come to pass. God operates in a depth of wisdom such that even his enemies can be used many times to support his agenda to bring it to pass. Are you still with me now? You are not with me. You are not with me. Are you following me now? So as long as that which craving that is in the heart of that man, though saint or sinner, aligns with the agenda of God for the territory and for the region, God can empower him to perform it. Now what is? The point is this, maybe after God's agenda has been performed, so he may now want to furnish his own selfish agenda. And the Lord that empowered him to perform his own will now remove his empowerment. So he will not be strong enough again to fulfill his own personal agenda that was his driving force in the beginning. But he did not know that what made his driving force come to pass was not because of his strong will, but because he was what? And then when he wants to add his own agenda, God now does what? I'm speaking a parable. It will happen in Benue State. There's somebody that God has anointed right now, and he's doing a great work. He's a bulldozer. He's evacuating things that have been built up, and he's moving. If you see the power with which he's moving, you know God has backed him up. But his time of joy will not be for long. Because after God has finished backing him up, God will withdraw his support somewhere along the line so that the destiny of the land can be preserved. I speak in parables. The Lord give you understanding. Turn your Bible with me to the book of Joshua chapter 24. Okay, I actually wanted us to pray. That's why I went into all what I said. What I'm trying to draw to us is this. God can anoint an unbeliever in office, in governmental office, to perform his counsel. Because he has manipulated his heart and has smuggled his agenda into that heart. Are you with me? God cannot anoint an unbeliever to be a pastor. You are not getting it. Are you seeing the balance? He can anoint them to do things in government, but he cannot anoint them to do things in ministry. Because this will require that you be a priest. And if you are going to be a priest, you must be called. And the basis of the Melchizedek priesthood, which is the New Testament priesthood, is that it is established upon the power of an endless life. That means if you are going to be the priest after the order of the Melchizedek, you must have an endless life inside of you. So you must be born again. You get it? Good. If you are also going to be a prophet, you need to have the endless life inside of you, because you are going to tap into ancient wisdom. And the only access into ancient wisdom is the life of God that is brought into effect and realized by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? But if you are going to operate in government, what you need is just anointing. Not necessarily, but what? Now, so let me show you that Samuel was a priest, he was a prophet, and he was also a king. And as long as he was alive, the Philistines could not compromise Israel's territorial integrity. Moses was the first king of Israel, because he had a governmental spirit. And as an apostle of God, he was able to bring the pattern from heaven as to how they should be governed. Are you still with me? He leaped into heaven. Because when they came out of Egypt, there was no social security system, there was no educational system, there was no religious system, there was no... He downloaded it. And I've told you that Israel is a pattern that God has used to give us an insight into how he wants all nations to find their destiny in God. Israel being God's firstborn son. And there are other sons that God has called. But God is going to bring them to attain to their full potential through the template of his dealings with the nation of Israel. Now, we're going to look Bible study, national transformation. Then you see, how does a nation get transformed? Then you understand that there are two words in the New Testament for transform in Greek language. Metamorpho and metaschizamato. Metamorpho is that change that happens to mosquito when it transforms from egg to pupa to larva to adult. It is external. Metaschizomato talks about a change that takes place from the inside. Should I tell you that every spirit, every city has a spirit? Let me stop there. You don't believe me? You want me to show you from the Bible? I will take you to Isaiah chapter 19. The Bible speaks about the spirit of Egypt. The Bible, Isaiah began to show us the prophetic things that God revealed to him to carry out so that the spirit of Egypt will fall. Before those guys were saved, delivered from bondage, the spirit of Egypt fell. That's why they were able to come out. It was now prophet Isaiah that now gave us prophetic insight and showed us the reality of what took place that led to the deliverance of God's people. So you might travel to UK, to London, and you see infrastructure, everything good, water coming out. No break in light transmission and things like that. But the question is this. Is it metamorpho or metaschizomato? Is it an external change or a change that came from within? Many nations have been transformed externally. But the true spirit that controls the United Kingdom is called the spirit of the occult and witchcraft. If you press deep enough, you will touch witchcraft if you are in London. You might just be taking your stuff to the trash can and you just meet your neighbor. And he might warn you for your prayers that you prayed in the night that you cause havoc. You won't go too far in London before you meet the occult. Because that's the spirit behind every transformation that you have seen. The kind of transformation we pray for is not just a transformation in the area of infrastructure, even though we desperately need that. All the days I traveled from either my home country to Benin State University for school, I had to pass through Naka Road. And every time we were getting to Naka, you need to say special prayers to cross over to the other side. How we need infrastructure in our land. But that's not all we need. We need a transformation of the people in the land. Nigeria has the best civil service system the world over. Even the United Nations acknowledges that. We have balances and checks. We have counter checks, counter signing. And just in case we went home with 2 million, it won't be too difficult to trace it because the system has been designed in a perfect fashion. But the problem is that if the guys that are in the system are not transformed, the system cannot work. And so we need something more than an external metamorpho. We need something that radiates from the inside of the people. And that's why the only cure to the quagmire of Nigeria is a spiritual revival. When Jesus was born, indicative of a revival, the Bible says that wise men came with gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. Should I say that an economic revolution is always traceable to a spiritual revolution? Because we need metaschizomato. The guys running the environment, running the economy, running the government must have a transformation that comes from inside before the system can work. What we pray for this land and what we have seen in the spirit is not just infrastructure. We have seen a day and time where Jehovah will be king and men will come from all nations to bow to him because his tabernacle will be found in this territory. Sorry, I've been trying to do the Bible study. I brought some Bible study materials and the Holy Ghost is moving me. Hallelujah. Have you read your Bible? The Bible says that the devil is capable of transformation. Have you seen it? He's capable of transforming himself to become what? An angel of light. So there is a level of transformation that the devil is capable of. Have you ever seen people that came into the courts because they wanted fame, they wanted power, they wanted money, and he came wretched, and suddenly he's transformed, and he comes back. He is capable of some form of transformation. But it's always external. Because the devil cannot be born again. He cannot be transformed from inside. He can only occasion transformations on the outside. But what we seek in our nation is that the entire, the fiber, the essence of our reality will be touched by God's power. That's why we preach, that's why we pray, and that's why we prophesy. That the time will come where the powers that rule this territory will bow to the Lordship of Jesus. That time is going to happen in our lifetime. That's what I'm saying. I saw that vision many years ago. And God, I've been asking God, and God showed me a sign recently. So let me shift my sermon. I wanted to talk about what I promised to talk about yesterday. Transformation. That's what we pray for. And just in case you walked into this hall, you might be wearing a what do they call it? Saint Laurel t-shirt, fully janded. You look good on the outside, and if Christ is not in your heart, you are metamorphosed.
You have just changed from lava to pupa. But your substance is still the same. Hallelujah. But we are trusting God for something that will break hard from inside. It will break hard from inside. In the name of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bible with me, sorry, to the book of Isaiah chapter 18. We'll do Joshua chapter what? Okay, I will connect it. I will connect it. Can we go to Isaiah 19 quickly? Pastor Onyeka, do you know that there's a spirit in Union Grid? Union Grid has a spirit. And when you walk from Union Grid, take a bus, come out of Union Grid, walk into Benue State University, you will notice that the spirit in Benue State University is different. I'm not trying to make you esoteric. I'm just telling you reality. There is a trend and pattern of transformation that you are going to see in a locality that will give you an idea of the spirit that is operating in that place. Alright? Let us see. Isaiah chapter 19 from verse 1, the Bible says, the burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rise on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. And the iron doors of Egypt will totter at his presence. And the heart of Egypt will melt in the mist. And I will set Egyptian against Egyptian. Everyone shall fight against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor. City against city, kingdom against kingdom. The spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their counsel. I will consult the idols and the charmers, the mediums and the sorcerers. And the Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master. As a fierce king will rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. The spirit of Egypt. So the Bible speaks about the spirit of Egypt. And I want to lower it down. Just as territories have spirits that control them, families have spirits that control them too. And just in case you walk into a place, you get an admission to Benue State University, the first assignment you are supposed to do is to carry out spiritual mapping to understand the spirit that operates in that locality. If you have a good insight about the spirit that operates in the locality, you are already informed about what to expect and what not to do and what to do. When you come and you find out that there's a mighty spirit of immorality in the place, it is as suggested to you that you are going to have to put upon your shoulders the burden of a fasted life so that you operate in opposite to the spirit that's operating in that place, and that's the only place your life will sustain a pattern that is different from the pattern of surveillance that the spirit has inflicted upon the territory. Are you still with me? Now, the Joshua chapter 24 that I said you should open to, let me break it down and then continue from there. I don't want to talk about cities so much because our emphasis is families. Hallelujah. You are not with me now. I say hallelujah. When you come to Nigeria, Nigeria is a nation of great repute when it comes to corruption. So it's the spirit of our entire nation as one entity has its best strength in corruption. Somebody, please preach to your neighbor for me. Politics is not bad. It's just that there are bad people in politics. Now, in a corrupt system, every potential that is harnessed will be changed to conform to the statutes of that particular system. Are you still with me? Corrupt guys get into the bank, then the banking profession becomes corrupt. They begin to station girls with miniskirts around hotels in Lagos so that they will bring customers. Marketing, they call it marketing. Marketing the department. Those days, in the days of Union Bank and in the days of First Bank,
those ancient days, there was nothing like marketing department in the bank. If you felt that you had to keep your money, then Union Bank was big, strongly reliable, and First Bank is truly the first. Yeah, you're not with me. Hallelujah. Then some guys came into the banking system that felt that the banking system was sluggish, and they brought all the symptoms of seduction into the system. And the banking system in our day and time is almost always associated with seduction. And so you need to be 5'4" as a lady to have employment into the bank. You must be lanky. It's more preferable if you have open teeth, because these are things that will facilitate the Lord give you understanding. There's nothing wrong with the banking system. It's not only in Nigeria we run banks. We have banks in Swiss, we have banks in Canada, we have banks in London. We went for a seminar one day and one guy was trying to teach us about mammon. And he confused us. Because he made us to think that mammon was naira. Hallelujah. So what is the Dutch mark? How about the dollar? The euro? Hallelujah. Nothing wrong with the banking system. Only that some corrupt people came into the system and then they brought a spirit into it. Nothing wrong with civil service. It's wonderful. But when some guys come into it, they can bring the occult into it. And there are levels you get to in the First Bank. When this guy was Soludo, was the governor of First Bank, you need to swear to the fingers of fraternity before you could be made a manager. And there was this lady that was a born-again Christian in the system. She says, no swearing. She was sidelined. In fact, it's not as if they retired her, but she was no longer being paid salary. They had to go settle it in the Senate. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's men that makes those systems like that. Because they come into the systems with what? With spirit. Solomon never knew the disservice that he did to Israel by marrying from every nation. He married from Egypt, and then they say, sorry, before you marry here, you will dance naked before our God. That means Solomon will put Obete. You know what they call Obete? You know Obete? Hey. Well, that's a parable. And he will go and dance before shrine naked. Then he said, I just saw. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes, there were some times he had to travel before he continued writing. He said, I returned and I saw. He didn't see that one when he was around. He circumnavigated. And then, hallelujah. Let me give you an idea. The first time I traveled out of Nigeria, I asked myself, what is beauty? The reason is because my concept of beauty for ladies, alright, is within the frame, the window of what I've seen and known. And when I went to another country, I saw. So Solomon said what? He returned and then he saw. What he's trying to make you understand is that I have a more balanced position about this issue. I was myopic before, but I traveled now. I traveled out. I moved around and I saw. The Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. But when you are married, don't see again. Don't see. You may travel, but in Jesus' name. So the guy goes around, goes here, and he sees another lady, and they say, okay, our own, you will sleep in front of the shrine all night before you take a wife. No problem. And unknown to him, all the spirits of these nations where he married, the ladies came with their shrine. Alright? Alright. He never knew that there was a spiritual problem. He was creating heat in the polity. There was weight in the system. And he was such a wise man. And so Israel had 12 tribes. So what he does is that one tribe will be in charge of his upkeep, the feeding of his servants, the running of his house for 1 month. There are 12 tribes, have you? So it will fall on you next month. Naphtali, in January, Zabulon, Reuben, Dan, Benjamin, and the resultant effect of that. You know, he's a wise man. He understands. He spreads it out. I don't want to go too far. Some people will stone me after this service, but amen. He spreads it out so that everybody can partake. But yet, if one tribe manages to feed him and his household in 1 month, they are in debt till the next year. Have you studied your Bible to find out the things that Solomon sacrifices in 1 day? How many goats he sacrifices? How many rams? How many cows? Please try this night to find out. That guy lives large. Hallelujah. I remember the first night I had the privilege of staying in the presidential suit in Nikon. Jesus. They gave me the key to the suit in the night. 10 p.m. Hallelujah. My in-law used to be the personal assistant of a very big man. And the president, his ministers and all of that had stayed booked for Nikon presidential suit. That up, that final floor up there. They're booked for it for 5 days, but they will stay for 3 days for security reasons. So, and he's the guy that does the booking and all of that. So there were 2 days free. And the guy just came and he just threw the key to the... It's like an MTN... What do you call that? Recharge card. And I clogged it on the door and it opened. Jesus. My God. Well, I looked for the AC till daybreak. I didn't find where they... the vent that was bringing cool air. I was like a bushman that they brought to the countryside. I didn't know there were 5 fridges there in the room. I only found 2. And I thought I had eaten so much. We brought wine home. I brought stuff home. And my sister, when we came home, my sister said, "Did you care to order?" I said, "Order? No, we were just feeding with what was inside." He said, "No, anything you could eat for 2 days was on that card." I died, but the opportunity didn't come back. The guy said, "I returned." And I came into accurate balance about the situation before I decided to write again. Hallelujah. The guy was large. So when he died, he had brought so many spirits into the territory. The spirits in the land began to influence the land after he died. I don't know why. And then the young son came, and when he came into power, I said, "All right." The elders came, advised him, "See, this burden is too much. Reduce the burden." He consulted with young men. Okay? Say, "My father was like this. Me, I will be like that." So increase. I'm speaking in parables. Parables. Speaking about a place. This is my parable. Amen? He consulted with young men. And Israel fragmented as a nation because there were too many spiritual issues that could not be handled. Every city has a spirit. It is not too difficult to know the spirit that is operating in the territory. If you have eyes to see, just walk around in the daytime, walk around in the night, you will notice a pattern in the land. Now, let's read our text for the night. Joshua 24. And just in case you have verse 15, let's have you read it to the house. Joshua 24, verse 15. Anybody that has it can read it.
"And if it seemed evil unto you,"
if it seemed evil unto you,
"to serve the Lord,
choose
you this day, whom you will serve.
Now, this guy is trying to make Israel understand that you guys cannot function without a God. You need a spirit. Hallelujah. And I hope you know there's no vacuum in your village. If Jehovah is not there, something else is there. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Then he gives them a catalog of spirits to choose from. Read for us.
Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood.
Wait, now you are reading it like a novel.
Okay. Whether the gods.
Hey! Okay. Cool down first. When you read, there are some gods that were on the other side of the water. Eh? I heard that in Kwande local government, there's a river there. According to the people that I consulted, they say the man called Jatoka, that he came through the river. And noticed that the spirit he carried into the territory superseded the spirits that were there before. Those were the gods where? Beyond the river. I don't want to proceed on that because the part of this country where I come from is full of rivers. And there are several rivers you need to cross to reach the very fortress of where you can make a charm that they, at least before you break the charm, you travel out of Nigeria. You travel, you cross some rivers to get there. So he's now recommending to them, you guys can decide to choose, amen, the gods that are beyond. We will talk about that. The ones that are beyond what? The river. I hope you know they have to cross a river in order to come into the land of promise. So he's still recommending to them the gods that are beyond the river. And if you have studied Egypt very well, you see that there are seven gods in Egypt. Hallelujah. I don't know. Those days we watch films, so a lot of films. Okay. Let's stop there. The seven gods of Egypt. One, I hope you know, if you read history, because in medical science, they always tell us that the founder of medicine is an Indian. But if you read history, you will find out that the founder of medicine is actually an Egyptian. And his name is Imhotep. Imhotep. It is just that Imhotep's approach to medicine was spiritual, and it could not be learned in the classroom. You had to understand the language of divination, language of sorcery. And it happens to be that where I come from, my ancestors were called the healers. And my father used to tell me those days that there is a ritual. If you go through it, you can speak to plants and plants will speak to you. He asked me, how do you think that these roots, we know that they can heal this thing? I said, I don't know. You have to interact with the plants. And he described the procession that was part of the ritual that had to be engaged in order for you to come to a point where you are sensitive to the language of plants. Somebody say, did you also study witchcraft? I studied the Bible. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That means plants talk. Hallelujah. That frog that is crowing is making sense. It's just that you don't understand it. And it is because of the communication ability that they have with the plants that gave them the advantage to understand what part of the plant can heal what and all of that. And in our village, when you see a very old man that has a leather bag, leather, pure leather. It's a sign of a local healer. And it's one of among the last dimes of the ancestors that still understand the language of the plants. And this guy is giving the house of Israel a variety of gods to choose from. And each variety, in this variety, each god has a significance, has an ability, has a power, has a capacity, has a characteristic. Are you still with me? Read now.
Or the gods of the Amorites.
There's no anointing in what you are reading. Or the gods of what? Then you need to stop your Bible study and go study the gods of the Amorites. What's their name? Because it's in plural there. Do you know the names? Okay, good. Come, come. And then you notice that among the Amorites, there is a definite capacity that these gods have. Or the gods of what again?
The gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell.
Okay, you guys have left Egypt beyond the river, and now you have come into the land of the Amorites, and you now see another style of worship and another spirit in the territory. I'm just trying to make you understand that for every place they went to, there was a spirit, there was a God in that place, and it was that spirit that determined the pattern of life that was in that place. Go on with your reading.
But as for me and my house.
So he could only speak for himself now. As for me and my house. And he was speaking on the behalf of his house because he was the head. Were you, if you were there yesterday, you understand? You understand where we are, where we are now? All right. So he was speaking on the behalf of his house because of that, what we discussed yesterday. He is the custodian of the generational blessings. He will determine the direction and the destiny of that family, of that house, by his ability to acquaint himself to a particular spirit. By for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You have the choice to make. You can choose the gods beyond the river. You can choose the gods of the Amorites among whom we dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve God. That statement has implications. We need to take that statement to court so that we can interpret it. Please get me my ball. Get me my ball. Are you still with me? You are not with me? All right. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. On that issue, Joshua was not democratic. He didn't want to find out the opinion of the members of his house, whether they wanted to serve Jehovah or not. But he spoke for them. There is something we need to understand. And if you are going to understand the spirit realm accurately, you must understand this and understand it well. If your prayers are going to be as effective as you intend them to be, if your life is going to command deliverances unto Jacob, then you must understand some things that uphold the realm of the spirit. There is something that you must know. The first that you must know is what we call authority. Authority. There is something that God acknowledges in a particular family. I said that there is a principle that is part of creation, and that principle is the principle of seed bearing fruit. Alright? So God doesn't want to come create mango tomorrow, create mango next tomorrow. He just puts the potential in the mango seed to be able to produce another mango. So as long as there's mango seed, there'll be mangoes upon the face of the earth. Because the seed have the ability to do what? To bear the fruit. Are you with me? So can we say that the fruit is inside of the seed? The tree is already inside that seed.
So if we can get the seed and take it to the laboratory and inflict it with some chemicals and get to affect the delicate balance of chlorophyll, if we plant it and it grows, it might turn out to have yellow leaves. Are you with me? Not because initially it has yellow leaves, but we're able to get the potential that will create another tree, and we afflicted it, and it gave a pattern that is not in the original. Did you get that illustration? Alright. So whether you like it or not, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 7, you were in your grandfather, even when you were not yet born. Oh, did you get that one? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, when the Levitical priesthood was contrasted with the Melchizedek priesthood, in revealing the superiority of the Melchizedek priesthood, Paul brought to our notice that while Abraham was giving tithes to Melchizedek, Levi was in his loins. Levi was not born yet when Abraham did that. But Levi was in his loins while he was doing that. You get it? And so let me say something. Authority. You must have a father. You must come through a father. You must come through a mother. And because that was your passage to come into the earth realm, even though you are a seed of eternity, but in order for you to come through time, you have to come through a family. You have to come through a clan. You have to come through a people. If that guy with you in him goes before a God and say, "As for me and my house, we will serve you," and it happens to be that you are inside of that man, the utterances of that man is binding upon your life. Whether you were in the know of what he said or not. Are you with me now? Now, in redemption, God had in view all these complications before he designed our redemption the way he did. But you have a responsibility on your shoulders to ensure that the dividends of redemption find expression in your life. Amen? First of all, authority is something that is very significant in family. Notice that Joshua said, "As for me and my house," without consultation. He spoke for his house. And everything he was saying was binding on them, even if they agreed with it. So the devil takes advantage of authority. That's the first thing he takes advantage of. He takes advantage of the potential of authority. Please don't ignore these factors that we will be raising, because we are going to see how to undo the things that the devil has done. If we talk family, we must be talking genealogy. We must also be talking about the spirit of the family. Are you still with me? Genealogy, and we are also talking about the spirit of the family. Second thing that you must understand about the spirit realm, spirits like entering into agreement. Blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The angel appeared to Mary and said to her, "You are highly favored." And all the angel was trying to get from her was get her to agree with him that you are going to be a son. And the holy thing that you shall be conceived of shall be called the Son of God. How shall these things be? The Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing that you shall be conceived of shall be called the Son of God. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word. Agreement. End of story. It's spirits seek agreement, and that's what is all is normally called covenants. Another thing that will be binding on you, if it is operational in your family, is covenant, agreement. And because of authority, they may not need to consult with you to enter into an agreement that will be binding on. Are you with me? Oh, you are no longer with me. It seems you are sad that I'm saying whatever. You get that? So spirits like what? In cutting a covenant, a spiritual tool is normally used because of its ability for vocabulary in the spirit realm. That spiritual tool that is used is called blood. Why blood? Blood has vocabulary. In the realm. First, the Bible says that the life of the animal is in his blood. Secondly, the Bible says that the blood of Abraham speaketh from the ground, crieth from the ground. Blood has vocabulary. Blood. Where's Benjamin? Okay. We are going to pray a prayer tonight that is strange. Amen? Strange prayer. If we pray it right, you receive the results either 7 days, 14 days. If we pray it right. So blood has vocabulary in the realm, and the accuracy of, or the extent to which you can argue a matter in the realm of the spirit is dependent on the quality of the blood you present. The extent to which you can argue a matter. Because in arguing a matter, you need vocabulary. So there are several cases where the blood of chickens can do, blood of a goat can do, a blood of a dog can do. And it keeps going on like that until we can get accurate vocabulary to argue our case in the spirit realm. Because of these three things, fourthly, there's also what we call renewal of covenant, because covenants have expiry dates. The expiry date of the covenant is because of the fact that this blood cannot speak forever. So they have to renew it so that the speaking continues. The reason why we don't need another covenant in the new covenant, we don't need to renew the covenant, is because the Bible reveals that the blood of Jesus, it has vocabulary, sufficient vocabulary, and it has eternal capacity to speak. So you don't need to crucify anything anymore. So, but wait. We have what? They need to renew covenants, and the covenant is normally renewed by what we call the custodian of the totem. The man that preserves the purity and jealousy of the covenant that was made in the first instance. This totem is a medium. A bridge between the spirits and the clan or the family that the spirits have been contracted to shelter and to bring covering over. Hallelujah. Please help me tell your neighbor that life is spiritual. Life is not fair. No, you didn't say it with faith. I said life is not fair. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Bread does not come to men of skill. Drink does not come to men of understanding. The reason is because life is largely manipulated from the realm of the spirit. Because of these four things I've written here, these four things are responsible for: one, patterns. Cycles. And flows. Let us try to understand the first category, patterns. A spiritual man must know how to read patterns. Your mother's generation, she had a pain on her left side, grandmother, excruciating pain, and people took knowledge of it. And then your mother too had that pain, and then you begin to see that pain. That's a pattern. And when you see a pattern like that, then a spirit is involved. Because spirits keep time. Let me tell your neighbor that. Spirits do what? Keep time. Spirits have knowledge of time. And that's why when Jesus confronted the demoniac, the spirit said what? Huh? Why have you come to torment us before? They keep time. Occultics keep time. Some cult people only come out on Wednesday. Some only can generate the strongest power within their capacity when there's a full moon. They keep time. They are not always strong. They are not always powerful. They are not always the way they claim to be. So they keep time. Many times like that, they need to wait for 125 years. For the accurate alignment of the sun, moon, and star, before they can summon some forces and call the power of the deep. They keep time. So there are patterns, and I would like you to add in your note that patterns are transgenerational. Cycles are generational. That's the difference. Patterns are what? Transgenerational. Cycles are what? Generational. First born has the same thing. Second born has the same thing. Third born has the same thing. Cousins have the same thing. That's a cycle. And then a flow is something that happens at a definite time when they are 21, 21, 21, something happens. So, look out for flows, look out for circles, and look out for what? For patterns. Can we find a type of a pattern in the Bible? I mentioned one yesterday. I said, Abraham, it took 25 years for him to have a child, the child of promise. How many years did it take Rebecca? 20. That's what I wanted to hear yesterday. It took Rebecca 20. That means the God that Abraham was serving in Mesopotamia is a fertility spirit. The true character of that God is barrenness. And if I serve out that God, you can be rich in money and rich in stuff. You can even grow to very good old age, but it will leave its trademark upon you, and you will see that trademark is transgenerational. I hope you know that Abraham was a man of covenant, but yet there was a pattern that still affected him, but he took a walk with God to undo the effect of that pattern. I'm going to show you that some patterns will still remain even after you have given your life to Christ. You take a walk with God, a walk of commitment and a walk of consecration before it begins to wither gradually, and then you evolve a new pattern under the spirit that you are subject to. And then your children will drink from the spirit you are subject to. And the manifestations that will be around my children will become the manifestations that my life will produce. If I instruct them well and I teach them well and I keep blessing them and showing them the way of the Lord, I tell you the truth, there's security in God. Those guys will operate under the influence of the spirit I've introduced them to. And so why we are here this evening is in case there's a pattern that continues till you. Let's end it. Number two, knowledge. Number two, we don't have time for this. How I wish we could add one more hour, but I know we don't have that luxury at our disposal. The place you are from, what is the greeting of your chief? If they want to greet your chief, what's his salutation? Zaki. Zaki is what? Lion. Now, please help me. Help me. You guys are... Help me. You okay? Zaki means His Royal Highness. Now, I'm not talking about translating His Royal Highness to your language. What I'm saying is, your chief has a salutation. If it's in my place, they call him Gabaido. Lion and tiger. Idu. Agaba. Idu. Alright? In some places, when you greet, it's lion and cobra. Take note of that. It will give you an idea of the kind of covenant that was made. Obviously, the people that greet their chief as lion, they were people of war, and they needed to have the posture of a lion as a being and a creature that does not turn back in the face of battle. The lion may not be as big as the elephant, but is never known to turn back for any other creature. It has that it has that capacity. So they had to consort with the kind of spirit that can... Do you understand what I'm talking about? Okay, let me give you understand. Now, watch me. David was from the tribe of Judah. So when they saw David charging against Goliath, Saul knew his tribe. Because it is in Judah that you find that kind of boldness. Because the lion dwells in them. So for a young lad, so Saul knew his tribe. Saul did not ask for his tribe. Saul asked for, whose father is this? Because his tribe was manifested on the battleground. I'm just trying to bring that lion stuff. They were warriors. So they needed not to turn back in battle. And they did several things that gave them the heart of the lion. And that's why their chief is called O Lion. You need a little insight into the kind of covenant that was done in the part of this nation from where you are from. Are you following? They can say lion and cobra. Snake. The one that can meander. You won't see it. It's flexible. It can be friendly, so beautiful too. Because you find out that there are some times where you don't win battles because you are strong. So some other technologies have to be brought into view. And then they go for the most subtle creature, which is a snake. And you can never know the emotion or the intention of a snake by just looking at it. Some of you, if you are angry, we already know because it's showing on your face. But the snake is always unpredictable. So you take note of the animal that is called when they are healed. Because my friend in the office, we began to do Bible study in the office. And I began to pray in the office. I began to preach boldly in the office. And one guy now came to me. Is Bongo, that he has this pain. He has been there for about 12 years. Pastor prayed. Then I prayed. Then the pain now left. The guy waited for two days and the pain didn't come back. What? The pain left. Then he said, Pastor, I am the son of a chief in my village. My father's title is the Zadok of Damawa. They took me to the graveyard. I've eaten the part of a dead man. And they gave me a live chameleon to swallow so that anytime there's fight, as the chameleon can change its color. Eh? They will find everybody that won't see you. Because you change your color. And they use those. The Lord give you understanding. When that guy gave his life to Christ and became born again, that chameleon, you know, the chameleon will be walking inside of his stomach according to the charm. That's what gives it power to make you blend with color. Do you understand? And there are many times they have sought his life, they didn't find him. They didn't find him. Then he gave his life to Christ. And he was not a serious Christian. And he was feeling the chameleon moving in his stomach, and that was what was causing that stomach pain. He said, I should pray for him. I prayed for him. The thing stopped. Then he now confessed. So I now say, So they use chameleon to do a charm that can make somebody impossible. You can't find him. The day you want to look for him, that's the day you know. The day you are not looking for him, you will see him. And that was why Bongo was like, you get it now. Let me stop there. I don't want to go too far. Pattern. Check your life quickly. Is there anything that has been in the line that is manifested in your line? Circles and flows. Just check it, check it. Take an inventory. And I need to show us New Testament theology. Because we don't have time to study, I may not be very accurate about my chapters and verses, but I want to show you something. Take note, I may not be very accurate about my chapters and verses. Alright? The subject of Matthew chapter 5 is in Adam. Romans 5, thank you. And that's why I said Romans chapter 5, the subject is in Adam. If we were left in Adam, what would have been our destiny? Subject of Matthew chapter 6 is in Christ. Subject of Matthew chapter 7 is in the flesh, and Matthew chapter 8 is in the spirit. Now what is Romans 5, sorry, Romans, not Matthew. Okay? Romans, okay? 5 is what? In Adam. Romans 6 is what? In Christ. Romans 7 is what? In the flesh. Romans 8 is what? In the spirit. Now, this is what Paul wants us to know. If we operate in the flesh, we are living out the destiny of Adam. And I hope you know Adam is our earthly father. All the causes we operate in your life, if you operate in the flesh, even as a Christian, in the spirit, our destiny in Christ is only realized in the spirit. This is the challenge. If you are a man that operates by the Holy Ghost, you are operating beyond causes. It doesn't matter if your grandfather's name is Barabba. You are only a victim of causes when you operate in the flesh, because you are traceable to Adam. You are traceable to your physical father, the physical covenant, to be effective in your life. I don't have time to do this job. I don't have time to walk this. Hallelujah. The devil is an illegal spirit. And so the day you give your life to Christ, the curses will still be on your life. The spirits will still be troubling you, so that they can discourage you and make you think that they have power. But what you are seeing there is a shadow. If you put electric iron to NEPA, and NEPA takes light after 2 hours, the iron will still be hot. Not because there's light, but because it has gathered some momentum. So you will still see the traces of the curse still on your life. Not because the curse is still active, but the shadow of the curse is trying to play with your mind. Testimony. In my family, there's a flow. I told you that I came from a long line of sorcerers. My grandfather knew the ways of darkness so much. Oh my God. I don't have no time for me to give you his CV. He was good. Hallelujah. Christianity started from my father's generation. So my father opened the gate of the kingdom to our line. For those people that open the gate of the kingdom like that, if you are not a very strong Christian, you may not live too long. If you are a strong Christian and you operate in the Spirit, you will live as long as God has ordained for you. He lived for 62 years old. He was a man of the Spirit. He was a man of God. He tried with his own knowledge of God that he acquired in Equa Church. He, full of integrity, full of probity, showed us, at least we saw the life of Christ as much as possible, in character and in integrity and all of that. But when my dad was to die, I knew that he was under torment, that forces, his death was not natural. So I went on an adventure to find out why. Then I found out that there were, that was when I made up my mind that I dashed myself to Jesus. Because if I live a natural life, those causes will still find expression. And the cause that operates among my people is that you can go very high, but in your lifetime you will fall. Go. But where? It has, my uncle, it has already caught up with him. He's on a downward slide now. And when you fall, you keep on falling and keep on falling. And then one sickness will catch you and then you're down. And that pattern was consistent. That's number one. Number two. Yep. According to the scripture, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 1 that there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, number one, and who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. There are two qualifications for you to actually actualize the dividends that are of Christ that are in the Spirit. You must be what? In Christ Jesus, born again, and you must have been brought to a point where you live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. There are some causes that ride on fornication. What is the antidote that triggers it? Are you with me? Some causes ride on anger. You must understand that. Especially if there is a gift of leadership in your family and you find out that there is a, in your family is a family of angry men, kill it in your life. Kill it in your life. If not, what happened to those people might still come and happen to you. Are you with me? Check for patterns. I don't have time to work this thing. But there's something we call, there is a point in your life when you shift from just having life to having abundant life. That point where you concentrate to God. And you are no longer living to fulfill your ambition. You are no longer living to fulfill your intentions, your strategies, and your plans. But you want to fulfill God's plans, God's intentions, and God's ambition for your life. When you get to that point in your Christian walk, the devil doesn't see you anymore. I'm not saying that holiness is machine power affection, but as a man that has come to a point where he has consecrated his life to Christ and is living his destiny in Christ, this scripture becomes true concerning him. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Nothing can work for your bad anymore. Because you are operating under a mighty anointing of God, even that which is meant for evil will come on you and change to good. That's the greatest charm now. You bring bad thing to hit somebody. Before he hits, you bring the one that will hit him, make him deaf. And then when you throw it, before he hits, the thing turns to face cap and shields his head from the sun. You meant it for evil, but it became... At that point in time where you are no longer living for yourself, you are living for Christ, you have been disconnected. The devil has no record of your existence and your life is like darkness to him. I got that one from Exodus. When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, it was like darkness. But if you are still living in the flesh, living for your ambition, living in your pride, trying to fulfill your own plans and all of that, the curses will still follow you. You get it? So when you begin to live your life as prescribed by Christ in the Spirit, your life is darkness. And then your own life will break the pattern and produce a different pattern. And then it will become possible for people to live beyond 62. Because a man like you arose and changed the gene of the family. Should I say something? Principalities like setting boundaries. Like nobody will go to school, nobody will go to university, nobody will marry normally. Every lady in the village must be pregnant. So when you now begin to live a life of consecration to Christ and by the Spirit, it's not as if they will not tempt you to take in. It's not as if they will not tempt you to fornicate, but you refuse by the Spirit. You have the ability to live right and live Spirit life because you have left your ambition and you are following Him wholeheartedly. If you still have one ambition left, your life will not be able to command enough power to live above the sin that is predominant in that region. And through that weakness, they will still have a case against you in the court of divine justice. A lady was brought here some time ago having some issues, and our pastors have been praying for her, and her situation has not improved. So I met her one of those days, and I wanted to know why she has not improved. And I asked her to look at me. She looked at me and she laughed. I said, no, just look at my eyes. But I could not discern her spirit that day. I said, okay, no problem. The next day, God brought her, and I just finished from the service. There was some anointing left. So I said, okay, come now. How are you? She looked at me and I saw that where her problem came from. And I sat her down. I told her that even when you gave your life to Christ, you still committed fornication many times. And that was where this happened and that happened and this happened. But we are here to help you. She wanted to deny. I say, hey. Then she began to tell me the truth. Are you following? If you are still following your ambition, you will not be powerful enough to live above. But when you let your ambition go and let your... Now, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to fulfill your agenda for my life. Only the Holy Spirit can support that. So you are not living in Adam, you are living in Christ. It's a different destiny. And to the enemy, you become dark. Do you get it? Are you with me? And then, when you rise up, because of the life of obedience that you have lived in Christ, God's intention is that He wants to use you as a tool to destroy that initial covenant by making a new one. You are not with me. Oh. You are going to establish another covenant that will rule that family from that day on. Just like there was a custodian of the totem, you will be in charge of the totem from henceforth. Hallelujah. We went for burial in the village and they brought a dangerous masquerade, the type that uses back to come down from pick up and uses back to climb back. And when the thing now becomes, the dance becomes hot, there's the shell of a tortoise that he carries on his chest, you will now raise it up. When he raises it up, if you have eyes in the spirit, you will see many pin-like things will be released. One of those pins will strike somebody and the person will be sick and the person will die. But it will take 3 months. But that masquerade does not come out without somebody dying. So when we saw the masquerade, my uncle now touched me and said, there's work. So I went to the other side. He was in this side. We spoke in tongues. The masquerade went that high dance that it will dance before it does this. When he wanted to get there, the song didn't flow again. So he just moved back like this and used back and entered. When those kind of things begin to happen, it means another priest has come. If there's an occultic elder there, he will know that one among these my sons has begun to touch some power. A spiritual man, please don't make noise in the market. Don't make yourself known. Just be cool. When you go there, you say, well done. Alright? Let's learn the technique of cornerstones. You launch from inside. And when you go to the village, oh, you are the good man. Oh, shake them, shake the people. Oh, don't curse anybody there. Are you following? Don't create anything that will make them. And so it came to pass. When my uncle's wife died, they went to a village of witches and married a wife. And the lady prospered in witchcraft to the point that she became a witchcraft seer. There are three departments in witchcraft. A witch cannot kill except a member of your family. If witches want to kill a member of your family, they have to initiate one. And that one will use the gradient of the bloodline to begin to kill the people. And now this guy has gone for free to marry a witch into the family. That means there are many for the slaughter. But after my dad died, we released some utterances. And she had grown in the witchcraft world and had become a witchcraft seer. A witchcraft seer is somebody that knows that somebody will die. And then they will say it. Somebody is about to die in the village. And then the news of death will be in the village before. Do you know? Okay, you guys grew up in the town. Hallelujah. And she came there. During burials, everybody will gather. Then she will put some things in the soup. But some people were praying. And the things, they started working initially, then they started failing, and then after some time, she was exposed. If you see witches exposed, the indication is that there's another prince has risen. Because witches are so smart, in their craft, you cannot expose them, except there's a power that they cannot understand. If I had time, would have talked about witches from the Bible. You see what witches do, how demons can be categorized, the types that are responsible for sickness, how to deal with them, how to know that somebody is operating under demonic spirits. This one is without the gift of discernment of spirits, things to observe, things to look at, how to monitor your own children when they are growing. If you are about to bring a housemaid in the house, what are the 6-point checks? 6-point checks. We'll do all of that, trusting God, but we are going to compress it. But I want us to pray now. Rise up. Can you rise on your feet? It's a night of victory. Something will shift in the realm. The Bible says that the sons of Issachar were men that understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. First of all, don't worry, it will not take much time. Just borrow me 15 more minutes so that I can make a complete sense. Now, see, in praying prophetic prayers, you must be specific. Alright? Somebody, maybe you slept and you had a terrible dream, and then you wake up from the dream and you want to pray because of the dream that you received. Don't pray big prayers. And I suggest pray in tongues until you sense that you are now in the spirit. Are you with me? And then you are going to address what you saw by the name of what you saw. You have dealt with it. When God was teaching Ezekiel, Jeremiah, how to do prophetic prayers, he gave him definite words to utter. He said, set thy face against king of Egypt, against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that great dragon that lieth in the midst of the waters. He gave him clear-cut description of what he's contending with. Are you with me? You must name it. You must set your face. And what it means to set your face is that you must operate by binocular vision. You know, we have binocular vision. Chickens have 360 vision. We have binocular. 180. That means if I'm facing you now, I cannot see this guy. So if you are setting your face, if you notice some treachery from the occultic, leave other prayer points for that season. And what? It's not something you don't do it. Set it. I tell you, even a king can beg. I tell you, a king can beg.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Have you noticed a pattern? Have you noticed a cycle? Is there a flow? Something that is happening in your life, happening in the life of your sister? Is there a pattern that marriages don't work for women? Are you with me now? Can we raise our voices and address those things and call it spirit of? I rebuke you. Spirit of. Can you lift your voice? Lift your voice. Some things will fall down now. Some things will fall down now. Have you seen evil patterns? Have you seen things that the devil has orchestrated? Difficult for people to take in. Difficult for people to give birth. Miscarriages here and there. These things are caused by spirit. But you want to lift up your voice. You want to say, I stand under the covering and the authority of the Most High. I receive vocabulary by the Holy Spirit. I set my face against the spirit of barrenness. I set my face against the spirit of untimely death. I set my face against that spirit that brings them down and risks them in their prime. Oh God, arise and let your enemies be scattered. You want to set your face. You want to set your face. Sofena ilabata manskatia. Ebramena kanskaman sole bakadebai. Baile sobrakana manzale. Yes, you want to break the patterns. A pattern of polygamy that has brought the occultic manipulations around the corridors of your existence. It's time for you to lift up your voice and command the enemies to turn backward. Set your face, O Son of Man. Zehila maskade babori manaya. Zehli maskenda manaskanda babora maya. Yee kabarande skobre bakuda mansala. Bakoria basamante. Is it a spirit of divorce? You want to arrest it. You want to set your face against it. You want to prophesy against it. You want to cut it off. Cut it off now. Cut it off now. Cut it off now. I cut you off in the name of Jesus. Estope abolima batando akasale akasola akamanta boria maskandelia. Let Reuben live. Let him not die. Let Reuben live. Let him not die. Let Reuben live. Let him not die. Oh, Sale Marakanda. Bakensomena. Ila Praskamana Korea. Ebate. Let Reuben live. Let Reuben live. Let Reuben live. Let him not die. Sobena. Branteke Bakura. Rakabansala. Abraskatoma Aberanandeta Zabaleta. By the hand of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I call forth the whirlwind of the Spirit from heaven to take out, to exhume everything that was buried. Everything that was buried, let the accord forth the whirlwind of the Spirit. Hey, alabaskanda, o barakamansala, dailamanda, dobeskende, Abrakamaskalababoria. The whirlwind of the Spirit. The Bible says that the east wind breaketh the ships of Tarsus. Kurebaske. Kurebana mansale. Aila mansala baboria. That spirit of death that has been hovering over the family. Hovering. The blood of Jesus is against you. I stop your mission in the name of Jesus. Kepotamina. Aila mansala. Bosana dabala. Brekas ketamenda. Rahila, sobele karya mazal. Yes. We set our face, O God. We redeem every firstborn, every male child. We redeem them by the blood of Jesus Christ. That operation of the devil, that sickness, that infirmity that have been coming down the line, in the name of Jesus, we put an end to the work of darkness. Be magnified, O Lord. You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can do. O Lord, my eyes have on you. Be magnified, oh Lord. Be magnified. Be magnified, oh Lord. You are highly exalted. And there is nothing that you cannot do. Oh Lord, my eyes have on you. Magnify, oh Lord, be magnified. Lord, another generation has arisen. A generation of power. People that insist that your will alone will be done. By your Holy Ghost tonight, we break every installation of the enemy. We set them loose. We set them loose. Shebele no marokozama. Haila marabana.
Oh, Sabala.
baba da da baba le baba na 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 oh na 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 na
Thank you.
imarama sopahabe.